Okay, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Pagpapatuloy natin yung pinag-aaralan natin, the New Testament church. What is the New Testament church? And we've looked at some of the mistaken ideas about church, and I won't be rehearsing those. They're loaded in our sermon audio page. They're available in our YouTube channel for further study and consideration. So if you want to review that, you can just listen to those two introductory lessons. And we're still in our introduction of what is church, because I want to make sure I lay the foundation simple and clear about what is the New Testament church and how important it is in the program of God for this dispensation. But go ahead and Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What is a church? Ano ba ang pag sinabi nating simbahan or iglesia? Ano bang pinag-uusapan natin dito? Ano ba yung tinutukoy natin? So yung nakaraan, tiningnan natin kung ano ang hindi ang church. Okay? At ngayon, titingnan natin kung ano ang church. And so, the definition of the word church, okay? The I don't want to confuse you, so I'm going to take this nice and slow para maunawaan natin. The English word church comes from the Scottish word kirk and the German word kirche or kirch, kirch. Pero doon nanggaling yung English, okay? We're just concerned with the English word church. Where did that word come from? Well, it came from Scots and Germans. And it means the house that belongs to the Lord. The house that belongs to the Lord. So it's a very nice word origin. You know, where the word came from, what it meant. It meant the house that belongs to the Lord. Or the Lord's house. Or God's house. And in the Greek, kirk or church is derived from kuriakon. Kuriakon. And that's Greek. Kuriakon. So the English word church came from Germany, Scotland and Germany. And then those two words come from the Greek kuriakon. And kuriakon means the Lord's. Or belonging to the Lord. So when we say church, we are referring to something that belongs to the Lord. Isn't that a pretty definition? Isn't that a great word information? That when we say church, we're not referring to my church. You're not referring to your church. This is not our church. This is the Lord's house. This is the Lord's assembly, the Lord's property. The church belongs to the Lord. It's His ownership. He owns the church. And that's a blessing. And we find this truth, kuriakon, the belonging to the Lord, not used directly about the church. It's used more in two places only in the New Testament. Kuriakon shows up two places only in the New Testament. And it has something somewhat to do with church as a whole. But let's look at it. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse number 20. When ye come together, 1 Corinthians 11:20, when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. The supper that belongs to the Lord. It's not our supper. It's not your supper. It's the Lord's Supper. It is kuriakon daifon. The Lord's Supper. Kuriakon daifon. We find that as a direct object in the Greek, okay? But don't worry about the grammar rule. I just want to show you that kuriakon is used here, and it's used one other time. So it's the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is one aspect of church, and why we should have church, and why we what we practice in church, and we practice as a church, Lord's Supper. That's why if you're not a member of the church, you are not welcome to participate in our Lord's Supper, okay? Not because we're special, because it's appointed by God to be observed by that particular church. So if you're a member of that church, then when they observe the Lord's Supper and you're part of the Lord's house in that location, you should participate in the Lord's Supper. Okay? And so it is with us. It's the Lord's. It's kuriakon daifon, supper, Lord's Supper. The other location is Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 10. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 10. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. And I said there's only two places in the New Testament where kuriakon, the Lord's, or belonging to the Lord, shows up. And this is the second one here. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's day. You see that? It's the day that belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord's day. Okay? You get that sense of ownership. You get that sense of property. It's not my day. It's not your day. It's the Lord's day. Okay? And we need to honor the Lord's day. This is why we assemble as a church on Sunday, the Lord's Day. It's not, we can meet on Wednesday night. That's not the Lord's Day. But we can meet Thursday night as a church. That's fine. But Sunday is the Lord's Day. That's a very, very, very important day. It doesn't belong to you and me. It belongs to the Lord. And so, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Kuriakon chrema. Kuriakon. The Lord's chrema day. That's in the Greek. Kuriakon. The Lord's day. And anyway. So we have that word. Church comes from kirk. Comes from kuriakon. And it means belonging to the Lord. So when we say church, we can mean the house that, or the assembly that belongs to the Lord. And so that's very important. Now the word kuriakon is not, in the New Testament, not applied to the church as a whole. It's applied to the Lord's Supper. It's applied to the Lord's Day. But as far as the word church itself, we don't get that definition from kuriakon. Now, I don't want to confuse you. I just spent some time explaining to you about kuriakon. Kuriakon tells us whom the church belongs to. But it doesn't tell us about the nature of the church. It doesn't tell us what kind of church it is. It doesn't elaborate on a more definitive expression of what the church is. Okay, we know that it belongs to the Lord, and that's a good thing. I hope that nobody thinks that the church is their church. You know, I like my church. You know, I go to my church. Well, I know what they mean when they say that, but the church is not ours. It's the Lord's church, and we should respect it as the Lord's church. So, we find, for example, that the New Testament over and over again calls the church the house of God, or the house that belongs to God, or God's house. That you find in the New Testament. But the word in that situation is not kuriakon. The idea is kuriakon, but the words are different. For example, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2. Okay, look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. Unto the church of God. Oh, see, it is the church of God, the ecclesia of theos, of God. The church of God. But it belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord's church. It's God's church. This particular church at Corinth is called the church of God. Every New Testament church is a church of God. Okay, so if I say, where's the church of God in Tuktukan? That's the Lord's church in Tuktukan. I almost made a mistake of saying our church. It's the Lord's assembly in Tuktukan. That's his church. That's God's church. Okay? The church of God. Okay? Now, the religious denomination that calls themselves the Church of God, the phrase Church of God was never meant to be a name of a church. Okay, it's a description. It's the church that belongs to God. And that's the idea of kuriakon, the church that belongs to God. It's the ownership. God owns that church. That's his church. Look at 1 Corinthians, since you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10, 32, give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Again, the idea is that God owns that church, and it is the church of God. One more, 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5. 1 Timothy 3, 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? See, the church that belongs to the Lord. The church that is the property of God. It's God's ownership. And that's the most important thing about kuriakon, about the English word church. Okay? So it's the Lord's church. It's God's church. Now, that's the definition of the English word church. That is not the definition of the Greek word that is translated church in the Bible, in the New Testament. The word church shows up differently than kuriakon. It doesn't. Actually, kuriakon only shows up twice, so it's not really the definition of the word church. It only describes the word church. The definition and the use in the New Testament directly about the church, the New Testament church, is ekklesia. Ekklesia in the Greek. Ekklesia. And already, if you're in, since you're Filipino, Tagalog, you already hear that, don't you? Ekklesia. Iglesia. Yun. Sa Tagalog, mas malapit pala tayo sa New Testament kesa sa Ingles. Sa Ingles, church. Paano nila nakuha yun? Church, dapat iglesia. O dapat something else, no? Kasi nga, yung wikang church, Ingles, hindi ho nanggaling yan diretso sa Greek. Nanggaling ho yan sa Scotland, German, tapos yun English. May mga Latin pa nga doon sa English. Huh? Pero sa Greek, sa New Testament natin, ang madalas na paggamit na salita para i-describe ang simbahan o iglesia ay ekklesia, hindi kuryakon. Yung kuryakon na binanggit natin, dalawang beses lang ginagamit yan sa Bagong Tipan. At bagamat totoo na ang simbahan o iglesia ay pagmamay-ari ng Diyos, hindi ho yan definition ng simbahan o iglesia. Makukuha natin yung definition sa wikang Greek na ekklesia, iglesia, or church kung itatranslate natin. In fact, sa kasaysayan ng wikang church, before the King James, there was the Geneva Bible and there was the Tyndale Bible, na kung saan nanggaling yung King James Bible natin. And Tyndale did not translate it church. He translated it congregation, which is actually closer to ecclesia than the Anglican word church. Tyndale was much more accurate. The word in the Greek is ekklesia. The translation should be or could be congregation or assembly or gathering. So the word ekklesia means gathering, a gathering, an assembly, a group, a congregation, a flock, a gathering. Gathering. So the word church is derived biblically from the Greek word ekklesia, meaning a assembly. Now, kuriakon shows up how many times? Twice. Ekklesia shows up 115 times in the New Testament. And so you see, when we define church, we use the word ekklesia because it's used. The preponderance of the definition comes from that word ekklesia. 115 times in the New Testament, we find the word ekklesia, assembly, gathering, group, flock, congregation. So we find that 115 times. Unless you're using the critical Greek text. And we don't use the critical Greek text because we believe that God gave us one Bible. And this one Bible is from the traditional received text. The text that the churches have received down throughout the ages. And it hasn't been altered or changed. As a text, as a whole. But the critical Greek text, which is the foundation of modern translations, they miss out on one word. They only count ekklesia 114 times. And so they're missing one. And we looked at this last week. Pinag-aralan natin yung isang word na missing sa kanilang listahan ng ekklesia. So, for us who use the King James Bible and hold to the received texts, we have the word ekklesia 115 times. And in every instance, it simply means assembly or congregation. Now, can an assembly be an assembly of religious purposes? Yes. Can an assembly be an assembly for political purposes? Yes. So just because something is an assembly doesn't automatically mean it's church. Okay? When the Greeks and the Romans called for a meeting for their citizens to make a vote, they called for an ecclesia. They called for an assembly. They called them out of their houses and gathered them into a group, a politic. And they were able to cast their decision in a vote, in a manner of saying, they assembled for a political purpose. That is called an assembly. You can call that a church, but you have to make sure that you understand that the word church means assembly, not the religious connotation of the word church. There's too much connotation to the word church that we automatically think religious. But the ecclesia, the word ecclesia, could also mean a political assembly, an entertainment assembly. You know, if they wanted to assemble to watch theater, that's an assembly. If they wanted to get together and celebrate a birthday, that's an assembly. That's an ecclesia. And the Bible uses that three times for ecclesia, but not referring to a religious service. You find it in Acts chapter 19. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 19. So tingnan mo yung Acts chapter 19. Porque ginamit nila yung ecclesia, hindi nangangahulugan na simbahan o iglesia ang pinag-uusapan, na nagsasamba sila sa Panginoon. No. Maaaring gamitin yung eklesia pang political na pagsasama para mag-vote sila bilang bayan. Ganon, pwede yun. At yun ang matutuklasan natin sa Acts chapter 19. Go over to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse number 32. Acts chapter 19, verse number 32. Acts chapter 19, verse 32. Some, therefore, cried one thing, and some another. For the ecclesia, you see that? For the assembly was confused. Now, what assembly are we talking about here? This is the mob, the group that protested Paul as he was preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. There was a group of Ephesians, of citizens of Ephesus, who did not like what Paul had to say about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they protested him. That was an assembly, but they were not religious as far as Christian church is concerned, the New Testament church. Okay? I'm trying to show you that the word is much more broader than just a religious context. It could be a political thing, just like this one here. Porque assembly, hindi ibig sabihin kaagad religious, no? Pwedeng political, pwedeng entertainment, pwedeng pangapagano, pwede rin yun. Basta pagpupulong ng mga tao. Yun ang importanteng maalala natin, na ang ecclesia ay pagpupulong, gathering, group, congregation. An assembly. Now, look at Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7, verse 38. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. This one's an interesting passage because it uses the word church. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. That is he that which was in the church in the wilderness. Oh, what is this church in the wilderness? So if you think the word church refers here to the New Testament church, you're going to think that the New Testament church was already existent in Moses' time in the wilderness, you see. But that's not so. Just because they use the word church doesn't refer to the religious New Testament assembly of Jesus Christ. This is the assembly of Moses in the wilderness in the Old Testament. This was the theocracy, the Israelites, the Jews. This has nothing to do with Jesus's Matthew chapter 16, 18 church, you see. But they use the word church, the church in the wilderness. All that means is the congregation in the wilderness or the assembly in the wilderness. Yun ang ibig sabihin ito. So hindi pinag-uusapan dito yung katawan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Hindi ito yung simbahan na tinaguyod ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Ito yung pagpupulong ng mga tao sa kapanahunan ni Moses. Pero tinawag church kasi ang ibig sabihin ng church, pagpupulong, yung ekklesia. All right? Let's go another passage, Hebrews chapter 12. This one has really caused a lot of problems. A lot of problems. Theological, doctrinal error. Ang dami nakakamali sa Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Say, Pastor, I found the passage that teaches the invisible, universal, mystical body of Christ composed of all believers. Ooh, let's see. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Oh, so see, Pastor? That's the church of the firstborn. And we belong to the church of the firstborn. And that's the universal, mystical, invisible body of all who are saved. Well, let's see, first of all, what kind of assembly is this? First of all, it is the church of the firstborn. So we know this is a congregation, an assembly, a group, a flock, a gathering of who? The church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. This is a group or a gathering of saved, of the saved, from Adam to the last person who will get saved. That's the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. So when you get saved, your name is written in heaven. And when you get saved, it stays written in heaven. This is the gathering of the saved. This is the assembly of the saved, the assembly of the firstborn. Everyone who is saved by Jesus Christ. So you see, Pastor, you see, that's the universal church. Well, it's not universal. Because when this assembly gets gathered, guess where they will be? They're going to be in the New Jerusalem. They're going to be in the glory of God. They're going to be assembled together in heaven. So is this a universal body that's floating around somewhere, that's functioning? No, it's not. It's not even assembled right now. And when it does assemble, it's going to be assembled locally somewhere. I hope you're a part of that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When your name is written in heaven because of faith in Jesus Christ, amen. You'll be a part of that. Is it there now? No. Does it function now? No. And when it functions, is it going to be invisible? No. Is it going to be mystical? No. Is it going to be universal? No. So it's not a universal, mystical, invisible body of Christ. No, it's not. It's actually going to be a local, visible body of Christ. An assembly, a group. Okay? It's consistent with the definition of ecclesia, but it's not referring to the New Testament church of Jesus Christ that we're talking about. That's existing right now. It's not referring to the church that you're supposed to be a part of if you're a born-again, New Testament believer in Jesus Christ. God wants you to be a member of a biblical, New Testament, Baptist church. That's the will of God. And that's what this whole lesson is dedicated to. I want to show that to you from Scripture. But for now, I just want you to understand this truth. The word church is derived from the word ecclesia. And ecclesia simply means an assembly, a gathering, a congregation, as William Tyndale, the translator, translated the word ecclesia as congregation. Church is a little more not clear, but it's a very significant word. It means the house that belongs to the Lord, and that's good. But it definitely is much more precise in ecclesia, not kuriakon, ecclesia. Kuriakon is used twice. Ecclesia is used 115 times in the received text. Now, are there any questions so far? Meron bang tanong? Do you have any questions at all? Wala pong tanong? Okay. If you do have a question, just go. You can write your question, comment your question or something, or message Marcia, pwedeng ganon, and we'll go ahead and answer your question if you do have any question. Kasi syempre, baka confusing talaga ang lesson na ito. Kaya hindi ako nagmamadali sa lesson dahil nga napaka-importante na maunawaan natin na ang iglesia o simbahan ay ang pagpupulong ng mga disipulo na naibaptize ng Panginoon. Okay? So anyway, we'll go ahead and develop this definition. But let's look at any other, no questions at all? No questions yet? Okay. Okay. Just give me a few more minutes. I want to introduce you to two more ideas about church. Okay, but I want to do a quick review. The English word church means the house that belongs to God, kuriakon. That's a description, but not a definition. The definition of the word church comes from ecclesia, which means an assembly, a gathering, a congregation, or a flock. Okay? And an assembly. The assembly could pertain to political assembly. It could pertain to an entertainment assembly. It also pertains to the assembly that Jesus Christ founded, and that's what we're talking about. It could also refer to the assembly of the firstborn, the future gathering of everyone who is saved. But that's not the New Testament assembly that we're talking about. That assembly is future, okay? And that's composed of those who are saved, those who are born again. They have not yet assembled. We're still here. And by the way, even if their rapture took place, you still have the millennial, you still have the tribulation saints that need to join that assembly. And you still have the millennial saints that need to join that assembly, you see. So that assembly is going to be a big, massive, local assembly in heaven. It's still a local body. And it's still visible. And it's not mystical. It's very, very practical. Okay, so erase that from your head. Na yung church is the mystical body of Christ, composed of everyone who's a believer. Not the New Testament biblical church that we're looking at. Okay? Go over back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I want you to notice something about the word church in Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 8. Verse number 18. Matthew 16, verse number 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. So when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, everybody he was talking to knew exactly what he meant. He was going to edify, he was going to build up his assembly. He's not interested in Herod's assembly. He's not interested in the Jewish synagogue assembly. He's starting his own assembly. He's starting his own assembly of disciples that he has, well, that John the Baptist actually baptized. Jesus is interested in his assembly. What's he doing today? Jesus is still edifying and still building his assembly. Now, I don't want to confuse you. I'm halfway tempted to continue this next week because this one's going to be a sort of confusing, but let's go ahead and try it. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," you can use the word church two ways. You can use it in a particular sense, a particular church, or you can use it in a generic sense. As in, you're not referring to one church, you're referring to every church of its kind. So meron gamit yung wikang church na particular. Meron din gamit yung wikang church na generic, pang lahat, pang kalahatang. Halimbawa, pag sinabi ko, walang pasok sa opisina, generic ho yun, pang kalahatang yun. Anong opisina pinag-uusapan ko? Lahat ng opisina. Walang pasok sa opisina. Halimbawa, sinabi ko, walang pasok sa eskwela. Anong eskwela ang pinag-uusapan ko? Lahat. So pag sinabi ni Kristo, "I will build my church," anong church yung pinag-uusapan natin? Yung church niya. Lahat ng church niya. O lahat ng mga simbahan na sa kanya. Okay? Yun ang generic. Pero pag sinabi natin particular, merong particular na mga churches. Halimbawa, yung binasa natin kanina, 1 Corinthians, to the church of God in Corinth. That is a particular church. To the church of God in Ephesus. That is a particular church. But if I say, the church of Jesus Christ, well, I'm not referring to one church necessarily. I'm referring to every church that is the church of Jesus Christ. When I say, "School is closed. School is closed." What school am I referring to? I'm not referring to any one in particular. I'm referring to all in general. Okay? So I hope you understand. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," he's not saying, "I'm going to build the church in Galilee." He's saying, "I'm going to build the church in Galilee. I'm going to build the church in Jerusalem. I'm going to build the church in Samaria. I'm going to build the church in Judea. I'm going to build the churches of the uttermost parts of the world, including the Lord's church in Tuktukan." God's involved and interested in building his assembly in Tuktukan. Specifically, particularly, and generically, all the churches that God is owning, that God is Lord of, every church that is his church, he is building that church up. You see, God's not building a universal, mystical, invisible body of Christ. That's impractical. It's not true. It's made up. And it's damaging to the particular church of Jesus Christ, or the churches of Jesus Christ. See, there is no universal church. There is the generic sense of the church, but the generic sense applies to every individual church. Okay, so I hope I'm not confusing you. We understand that about school. When somebody says school is closed, nobody says, wow, the universal, invisible, mystical school is closed. Nobody does that. But why do people do that about the word church? I believe it's because false doctrine comes from Satan. And Satan has promoted a view of the church that is not biblical. So this is why Christians, and I'm telling you now, listen very carefully, Christians don't value the Church of Jesus Christ when they neglect assembling. I can be a part of your church this day, and then I can go over to a whole nother church the next day, and I'm still going to church, because church doesn't matter who you are. As long as you're Jesus's people, you are church. You know, that is error. That is wrong. The biblical church is an assembly of baptized disciples in a particular location to accomplish God's will for each other as a member and for the community, to evangelize and to disciple. That's why you can't go to our church, the Lord's church in Tuktukan. You can't go there. And then I'm gonna go here for another week. Then I'm gonna go there for another week. Then I'm gonna go over here for another week. And then I'm gonna go there for another week. That's not the will of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a house? Do you have a home? When you're done working and you wanna go home, where do you live? You go somewhere else every week? Do you have a house here and a house there? How does that work? It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work in the New Testament church neither. It matters to God that you are committed to His church, to His assembly. You know? That's why our country's in a mess. Why is our country a mess? Because the government says you cannot assemble. You cannot assemble. I understand it's for health reasons. That's fine. That's circumstantial. There are circumstances. But there is also intention. There's intention and circumstances. If you can go to church, but you refuse to go to church because you're not, you know, because you willfully do not want to go to church, that's sin against God. If you want to go to church but you can't because of circumstances, providential circumstances, fine. That's not a sin. That's not sin. Okay? You're hindered providentially. But let's say the government says you can now have assembly. And we assemble and you're not there. Guess what? You are, if your intention is not to be there, I'm not saying that, okay? Because sometimes maybe your intention is you want to be there, but you're sick. Okay. That's circumstances, that's fine. But if you're not there because maybe you decided you can work more hours, oh, that's not biblical, you see. Don't neglect church. And this is why I believe, personally, okay, this is me, COVID is an attack upon God's churches. Because the essence of our worship is gathering together. That's what the word ecclesia means. That's the definition of the word ecclesia. So if we cannot gather, we cannot have church. And I understand we're under a circumstance right now. And may the circumstance disappear. May it change. Or may the government open their eyes and seek the Lord's help. And maybe they'll say, they'll get it in their head, oh, God wants His people to get together and pray. You see. Definition of the word church is ekklesia. Kuriakon is nice, but that is a description, not a definition. The definition is ekklesia, and I hope I show that to you. If you have any questions, just ask the questions or anything. If you don't have any more questions, tapos na tayo sa pag-aaral sa ngayon. And I want to appreciate you for listening. Alam ko medyo mabigat, medyo mahaba. Pero I believe na makakaya ninyong pag-aralan ito. When Jesus said, I will build my church, he's not speaking about a universal mystical body. He's speaking about his local churches, beginning with the one that he founded in Galilee, the church in Galilee. That's the first New Testament biblical assembly of baptized disciples. We'll expand more next week, a little bit more on the definition of church and some implications of the definition of the word church. All right, if there's no other questions and your conscience is clear, God bless you. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the truths that we find in Scripture, how precious they are, how instructive they are, how informative they are. Father, I pray that we would assemble freely, peacefully once again, that we may honor you, that we may carry out the Great Commission in Tuktukan and beyond. Because I know, Father, you are interested in the Great Commission. So, Father, I pray you take away the hindrance, Lord, that we may worship you and love you and serve you freely, Lord. We love you and thank you for showing us the truths in Scripture. And not just showing us, but including us in your plan. That's very gracious, Lord, and loving. We thank you for that. We ask that we would honor you and bless you in our assembly, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Salamat po sa pakikinig. Ulitin ko po, wala po tayong pagpupulong this Sunday. Hindi hope circumstantial ho siya. Hindi siya pinapayagan. Pwedeng pumulong yung 10 sa atin. Pwede rin pumulong yung... Pero yung mga 20-year-old pababa, hindi pwedeng lumabas. Yung mga seniors, hindi rin pwedeng lumabas. So, in essence, hindi talaga tama. Wala pa naman public transportation, no? Nasa kagipitan tayo ni COVID. Pero nasa kamay tayo ng Diyos na nagmamahal sa atin. Look unto Him. Focus on the Lord. And bring your burdens in prayer to the Lord. And do you believe that it's God's will for us to assemble as a church? Then if you pray, do you believe that God would answer your prayer, that we will assemble one day? Yes, I believe that the Lord will answer that and honor that. So let's go ahead and pray towards that, all right? If you have any questions or anything, just email or text or let us know, all right? God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you. Oh,
Hands.
Oh, sabi ni Joe, wash your hands daw. Huwag kalimutan, no? Maghugas ng kamay. God bless you.
It's definitely darker.
Yeah.